Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Mouse, a hooker, a nun, a Flemish peasant woman, whips chains, whistles yo-yos, a circus midget, my grandmother riding by on a bicycle giving me the finger, and a duck. Now, I don't know. Are you crying? Oh, my Lord. I am sorry, honey. Please don't. Could you get your daddy on the phone? No, don't hang up, please.
Okay. And are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is William Koontz. Welcome back to the show. I need to get out. And I used to go to comedy shows all the time, meet famous comedians like Bert Kreischer, and then asked, you know, hey, will you do a promo for my podcast? And he was nice, and he said yes. And I'd done that with Kevin Nealon and a few other people, Kevin Farley. Never got to meet Chris, but I did meet his brother Kevin, and they look almost the same. So it's pretty much the same guy, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't get to do that anymore. My life doesn't. I'm not going to say it sucks. It's just limited. I'm limited in things that I can do, and time that I have to do stuff. You know, I have to do a day job, and then I do the radio program on weekday nights with Anna Hummel. So I have this period of time, you know, from about 6 hours where I kind of can have some me time. However, 6 hours, it is a lot of time. But you can't really do anything in that 6 hours. By the time you cook yourself some dinner and, you know, relax for a little bit, decompress, you have, 3 hours or 2 hours by then. And then you can't, like, go have drinks or anything like that. You got to be on air at midnight. And I usually go in a little bit early to do the last segment of the Johnny B show before that. And I usually leave my place, you know, by 11, and the show's at midnight. So I just don't have time to do anything anymore. But I'm not complaining. You know, this is what it's about, right? You got to pay your dues, and you work hard, and then eventually you get an opportunity to work at a decent hour, at a decent time slot, and make money at doing things that you like to do. I mean, that's the American dream, right, folks? I'm keeping my fingers crossed. HMBradio.com is the website. HMB Radio on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. It's homemade man separated by 2 underscores. And I realize how much of a pain in the ass that is, but I feel like it's too late now. I feel like I'm stuck with that name. So make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you have not. You can get it on iTunes or Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to your pods. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. It should pop right up. Hit subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating while you're there. And tell a friend about it, because it really helps us out. It only takes a second. And it is very, I'm very grateful. And I'll send you some stickers if you do that. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSaintPete.com. Just send me a mailing address, and I will get some stickies right out to you. So I was looking through, you know, things that happened this week. I saw that I'm just desperately trying to stay away from anything political. I'm burnt out on it, as I'm sure you are. But wow, never in my lifetime has it just everything is so political. We are going to talk a little bit later about this Judge Kavanaugh and his confirmation hearing. We talked about it on Stay Woke a little earlier in the week. And more are both Anna's and I's growing frustration just with how everything's political and how frustrated we are with friends and family and social media. And so we'll talk about that a little later. But I wanted to talk about the Rays a little bit. Our own Tampa Bay Rays, they finally they're knocked out of the playoffs. Their season is pretty much over. They have a few games left, of course, that they will play their hearts out and try to win. But it's over. And they made it a hell of a run, too. They pretty much had to win, I think it was something ridiculous, like, I don't know, 12 games in a row. And that was just unlikely to happen. The Oakland A's have just been tearing it up. And then, of course, in our division, we have, you know, the Red Sox, and we have the Yankees, you know. And usually the Blue Jays are okay, and the Orioles are all right. Orioles are really bad this year. And the Rays were supposed to be at the bottom of that pile. They were not expected to do anything this year. They had no pitching. They had no, I don't know, just no players in general. Everybody thought they were going to struggle to win 60 games. Or 40 games, I think, was some of the talk at the beginning of the season. They were just supposed to be basement dwellers, and they won over 90 games this year. And in any other division, that would have put them in the playoffs, for God's sakes. But unfortunately, we have the Red Sox, who are having just another terrific year, and the Yankees, who are having a great year, and we were just kind of, you know, stuck. We were still in contention to get that second second wild card that they have, but the Athletics just turned it on, man, and they look really good. So who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs, but there was some talk about, you know, you got to be excited about next year because they seem stacked. Now, of course, you have time off and the winter, and, you know, the chemistry could kind of fade away after a few months. Some players are going to be gone. Some guys are not going to be there. Have a few new people in the clubhouse. But I don't know. I feel like they're set up to hopefully compete. Really compete. I mean, they competed this year, but really compete, you know, in 2019. We'll have to see, of course. But, you know, there's talk about Kevin Cash. He was probably, I think most people at the beginning of the season thought he may be on the hot seat. He may be ready to lose his managerial position with the Rays. And now he's in contention to win AL Manager of the Year. And I think he should. That's right. My completely uninformed opinion, I think he should. And not just because I am a baseball fan, a Tampa Bay Rays fan, but because I think he... Now, they're saying that the Alex Cora for Boston, he's gonna win the Manager of the Year. Why? Because he's got the best record. He also has a huge payroll and a lot of great players. Same thing with Boone in New York. Oh, he's got great players. Athletics manager. I don't even know his name. But he's... obviously in contention. I just feel like Kevin Cash has kind of changed the game of baseball. He started this thing, the opener, you know, the closer they have in baseball, the guy that comes in at the end of the game, gets those last three outs, holds the lead, and brings you that W. But Kevin Cash, he started the opener, which is pretty wild, because that is basically a closer, but, of course, polar opposites, yin and yang. It's at the beginning of the game. You know, it pitched for an inning or two, and then they bring in another reliever, and it kind of did it that way. And it was kind of done out of necessity because they just didn't have any pitching. All their starters got hurt, and, you know, they traded a bunch of guys away. They traded Archer away and got all these prospects, and maybe they weren't ready to start, but they were good relievers. And, man, did it just pay off for them. They really... really did some great stuff with that opener. And other teams started to do it. The Yankees did it a few times. There's some other teams in the league that started doing it. And I feel like it's going to be something that sticks around now. And when you change the game like that, I think it should at least be in talks to win AL Manager of the Year. I mean, it's just, so what? You're going to give it to the guy who has the most wins? I mean, I guess that makes sense. But you also got to, there's other factors to consider. Kevin Cash changed the game. And I think... he deserves to win this. Let me give you some stats. This is from MLB MLB.com. The Rays have used 20 rookies this season, club record, third most in the big leagues after the Angels and the Marlins. Tampa Bay's rookies have combined for 527 games, more than anybody. The Rays rookie pitchers have combined for 424 and one-third innings, most in the AL. These are the Tyler Glasnows, and there's Honeywell, and some of these guys that just turned it on. Since the Rays started spring training, they have traded away a dozen veteran players. Jake Odorizzi, Corey Dickerson, Steven Souza Jr., Alex Colome, Denard Span, Brad Miller, Nathan Eovaldi, who was a really good pitcher for us, now is up in Boston, Matt Andereese, Johnny Venters, Wilson Ramos, who was an all-star catcher, Chris Archer, who was the star around here, and Hechavarria, the shortstop. The Rays have used 16 starting pitchers, most in the majors, and a club record. 16 starters, if you're keeping score at home, are the most in the Tampa Bay Rays total from the past three seasons combined. And they have used 31 pitchers in all of this season. And, of course, they brought the concept of the opener. Starting relievers, including closer Sergio Romo, to Major League Baseball. Since they began doing that in May, the Rays ranked second in the league with a 3.39 ERA. Before that, it was a 4.43, and that was ranked ninth. Overall, they now rank fourth in the AL with a 3.74 ERA. The only teams ahead of them are the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Yankees, all just powerhouses in the league. The Rays relievers have now thrown for 613 innings this season. The next closest team is the Padres at 490 and two-thirds. Because they've been in the forefront of the opener movement, they have seen their starters pitch three innings or fewer 49 times a season and two innings 40 or few times. Nothing comparable to this has ever happened before in baseball or even close. So, I mean, I feel like that seals it for me. You know, just because you get the most wins with a huge payroll and all these, you know, fantastic all-star players on your roster doesn't mean you deserve manager of the year. I mean, I get the concept, but I just think what the Rays have done is just, like I said, it's going to be sticking around for a long time. Kevin Cash definitely saved his job. I think the Tampa Bay area is going to be stoked for next year. Hopefully it brings some attendance out. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Four is the number here. You can leave a voicemail or a text message. Tell me how you feel. I want to hear about it.
You're listening to The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y, Salon and Spa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Chrissy and the team, they'll get you looking pretty, man. Is it, I don't know, the kids going to homecoming or prom? No, it's that's not now, right? I don't remember. I never went to any of mine in high school. But if they are, you know, maybe you could do that. Even if you're just a single lady, you know, with dogs and you just have extra money, go get a really nice haircut. I know how expensive lady haircuts are. I spend $12 on my haircuts. You would have no idea. Some of you would, but most of you wouldn't. But go check out Chrissy at Truvy Salon and Spa. .com. Make an appointment today. The Botox lady is on her way. She comes in once a month and injects poison into your face, and it smooths out your wrinkles, and it keeps you looking good. And you may lack expressionness for a period of time, but what a small price to pay for beauty. TruvySalonAndSpa.com, and also HomemadePodcasts.com. That is my small business venture. I have media consulting, podcast consulting. If you've ever thought about, if you're an individual, thought about, hey, I'd like to do a podcast. This idiot does it. I'm sure I could probably do okay at it. Yeah, you probably could. If you have no idea how to get started, I can help you for a small fee. Just go to homemadepodcasts.com. Or if you're a business that's interested in, you know, providing some sort of audio content for your website to reach new and existing customers, I'm your guy. Homemadepodcast.com or leave a message at 813-693-2124. And this week on Stay Woke, we did talk a little bit about this Judge Kavanaugh guy, the confirmation hearing. I know you're probably sick of it. You know, earlier this week, they had the actual committee meeting where they all got together and grilled his accuser and him. And boy, it was just a modern day spectacle, wasn't it? I would have never thought in a million years the things that this guy got accused of doing would be brought up in a confirmation hearing through the highest court in the land. It really was a spectacle. It was a halftime show. It was, you know, they did little breaks in between, and then the anchors of CBS and NBC and Fox would, I don't think Fox did do that, but CBS did for sure. That's the YouTube stream I watched to watch a thing. They kind of gave their play-by-play. It was bizarre, man. I saw a tweet that was pretty good. I retweeted it saying that Maroon 5 was going to play the halftime show. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, it really was. It was a mess. And Anna and I do a show called Stay Woke on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. Anna and I are, you know, I'm so glad I got put with Anna, because we're just kind of mentally on the same, the way our minds work are kind of on the same wavelength. And we both just get frustrated with this stuff. And as I'm sure you do too. So we talked a little bit about it earlier this week on Stay Woke. So let's hear a little bit from that program. At midnights, weeknights.
Brett Kavanaugh will be testifying in front of the Senate. Is that correct?
I believe he will. But the big thing is that Ford, his accuser, will be definitely testifying tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or so she's scheduled to.
Right. And she was the original accuser. There has been a second accuser. I believe. Was that person anonymous? I'm not sure.
No, the second accuser was the woman who accused him of, now her memory's hazy, of course, but allegedly he's accused of pulling his penis out at a party, and she touched it and she didn't want to, pushing him away, I guess.
Sorry, I shouldn't have laughed.
And then there was a third accuser today.
Her name is Julie Swetnick.
Swetnick, and she accused Kavanaugh of, I don't think she accused him of gang rape.
No.
You know, again, you don't want to laugh, but it's just like, wow, that escalated quickly.
Right.
But he's being accused of providing or drugging women so they can be gang raped at parties at his time at Yale, I guess, in college. Then there was a fourth allegation that came out today that was withdrawn pretty quick. An anonymous letter went to a senator that was published and said that he messed around with his daughter inappropriately, and that he ended up recanting that pretty quick. But, you know, it got out there already with Twitter and the media, CNN. You know the thing with CNN, too? The story was recanted around 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay.
At 9 p.m., CNN put out a story about it. So it was already recanted, but they went ahead and threw it out there anyway. To say that these media outlets don't have an agenda is, you're out of your mind.
I think it's everybody, I mean, I would like to think that everybody knows that when you're watching CNN or if you're watching Fox News, what you're going to be getting. And you usually like to go to the source of which your own beliefs are confirmed.
Yeah.
You know, a confirmation bias. You're like, oh, let me watch the news. Well, the news is telling me I'm right, therefore I am right, and everybody else is wrong.
You know what the difference is, though, is CNN claims that they're in the middle. I think Fox kind of brands themselves as more of a right-leaning source. MSNBC. Yeah, I guess so. That's true. But I think everybody knows they're kind of like the right-of-center station. Mm. And then MSNBC, everyone kind of knows that they're the left-of-center. Mm. That's where you get Rachel Maddow and, you know, people like that. But CNN claims to be right in the middle. And I think that's why, in particular, you know, when the president goes up there and trashes CNN, singles them out, is because they claim to just be right down the middle and reporting all the facts. But then you see stuff like this today where it's like, are you bad at your jobs, you know, reporting this 2 hours after the story was recanted, or are you being intentionally malicious? And either one's bad.
Sure. And obviously they break news to people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they don't have the resources to acquire the news. Like, we're getting information, and then it's recanted, and then they're talking about it on the show. Obviously, there's an agenda there. It says here that the third woman, Julie Swetnick, says that she's accusing Brett Kavanaugh of being present for a gang rape, of which she was a victim. Not saying that he particularly gang raped her, but he was present at these parties and possibly was part of them, but not in relation to her specifically. Going on, it says approximately between 1980 and 1981, Swetnick attended several house parties where she says Kavanaugh was present. Swetnick does not accuse Kavanaugh of attacking her, but says he was present at a party where she was drugged with, quote, Quaaludes or something similar and attacked. During the incident, Swetnick said she was, quote, incapacitated without my consent and unable to fight off the boys raping me. In her declaration, Swetnick says she told at least two other people of what happened to her. So we're going to all hear about this tomorrow. Hearing is tomorrow. We've been waiting for this. Kavanaugh wanted to testify right away, but it was delayed because Christine Blasey Ford, there was something where she was like, it needs to be fair. She kept postponing it. I didn't understand. I mean, she's trying to, I guess, make it closer and closer to the election. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like. I
yeah,
mean, that's
let
a,
it marinate.
That's a strategy for mm-hmm. doing that would be to make it closer to the midterm. So that's a thing. It's like, you want to not necessarily, you don't want to say that victim is, or the alleged victim is lying.
Sure.
But you also have to understand that there are motives to lie in this case.
Of course.
We were talking about on the Johnny B show, there are people out there who really think that Trump is a Russian puppet. He's a dictator. Mm-hmm. If this guy Kavanaugh gets in, it's going to be that show, that Wives Tale. Handmaid's Tale,
yeah.
In real life, here in America, that women are just going to be under lock and key. And I mean, there's really people that believe this. It's so hyperbolic, but I don't think they think it's not hyperbole. They really believe this.
I agree with you. But even though, and I realized something about myself recently, and I think that we've talked about this as well, is we're not right wing. I don't consider myself to be a conservative in terms of a label. Like, I have maybe conservative hold conservative ideas about certain issues, but when it comes to social issues, very liberal. You know, I'm very much a libertarian who believes in liberty, which is part of that word, obviously. But when you are constantly bombarded, especially with me and my social media and my group of, I wouldn't say friends, but friends in the greater sense of my contacts, I'm from California, so I would probably say maybe 75% of my contacts on Facebook are from the West Coast, and they tend to be very liberal, so a lot of liberal media makes its way to my social media. And when I see that, I often want to defend the other side because I like playing devil's advocate, and also I think that they're misinformed. So when other people talk to myself, and you said this has happened to you, they assume that you're right wing because you're maybe defending Trump or defending the conservatives or defending the Republicans, when that's not necessarily the case. And oftentimes I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I have no horse in this race. I'm not married to any ideology. I'm not registered as a Republican or as a Democrat. So why do I feel the need to defend what everybody else is attacking? I'm like, is it just the punk rocker in me? But yeah. I think that you want to always be skeptical of what people are just assuming that they know, and they say it with 100% conviction. I know that he's lying. I know that she was raped. You don't know. And on the flip side, maybe he did do those things. It's a conceivable possibility that this happened. Let's see the hearing. Let's see what happens. But when I see people protesting, saying that, you know, Christine was raped, like, those are the types of chants that I'm hearing, I'm blown away because you weren't there. It's just this person against this person's word. That's all that it is.
And it's only because they want to believe it desperately because it confirms their worldview.
Sure.
And it will. They think that this guy, that the current president, is a dictator, and he's going to put women under lock and key, and they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. That's what they believe. So by any means necessary, they may potentially lie in order for this not to happen.
Sure, but funny enough, though, Kavanaugh is actually the I would say, less conservative of the two nominees. It was going to be some other judge who was a woman, and she said straight up, I'm going to overturn Roe v. Wade, and Brett Kavanaugh said that he's not going to do that.
Yes.
So that's also kind of strange. So did you want the other nominee to be in there? Because she would be more conservative, but she is a woman, so.
And they're not going to like whoever he nominates.
Of course.
But I think the deal is if they can hold it off until the midterms, he's going to have to put forward somebody that's a little more moderate, because Kavanaugh is pretty conservative,
sure,
I would say, overall. But even if Roe versus Wade did get overturned, my understanding is that abortion wouldn't be illegal now.
Just
it
federally?
Would just go, if federally, it would, no, and it wouldn't even be illegal. It would go back to the states. So Texas and Nebraska, those, it would probably be illegal there, but in New York and along the Northeast, it would still be legal. Is that the worst thing in the world? I don't know. I mean, I'm pro-choice, but I also think that it's murder to have an abortion.
Abortion is the one thing where I feel so torn between, because I think that it is murder. How is it not? You're aborting a fetus. 100% it's murder. Well, and then people like to say, well, where does life start? Okay, it doesn't matter, because if left untouched, it would turn into a human. All right? That's point blank. So you're killing a fetus human, okay? But on the other hand, it's very useful.
It
is. You know what I mean? It's very useful. But, and when you have, I don't know, I just think, and I don't want to even think like worst case scenario, because that's, well, what if she was raped? Of course, it's horrible. But does that make killing a fetus the right thing to do? I don't think so. But again, it's a problem, because if you have a baby at like 14, 15, it's, I don't want to say you've ruined your life, but it's going to be very, very, very hard to succeed.
Yep.
You're making it so much harder on yourself. You rob yourself from your own childhood or anything. Even if you're not ready, if I had a baby at this point in my life, it would be devastating to my career, for the baby. I wouldn't be able to support the baby because I don't have any money and I don't want to go on welfare. I don't want to be stuck in that whole thing. So at this point, if I got pregnant, I would definitely have an abortion. I'm not ready to have a kid. And if I'm gonna have a baby, I want to make sure that that baby is gonna thrive, or I can at least give it a fighting chance. I don't want to be in a welfare my whole life, man.
I got you. And like I said, you know, I am pro-choice, I think I would say overall, but the way that people talk about it too is really disgusting. I saw a Reddit post the other day that this guy was talking about, he took his girlfriend for an abortion, and they were celebrating and went and ate pizza afterwards, and it was just revolting. Like, that's not something to celebrate. It's something to be mourned, and hopefully something you learn from and not get yourself in that position, whether you use protection or, you know, whatever, you do butt stuff instead. And then, you know, you got that Michelle Wolf woman who made a song about how awesome abortion is. And that's when we talk about, you know, not to bring another tangent, but Amy Schumer talked about how you can't make jokes about female victims.
She's
the other
ridiculous.
Day. But it's okay to make a joke, a big song and dance about abortion. Now, there are people who find that greatly, greatly offensive.
Sure,
and
sure.
They think it's murder.
Yeah.
And you're joking about it.
Sure.
I think you should be able to joke about it, but
you should be able to joke about everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. And then they talk about, they always frame things in this weird way where they talk about it. Well, if you're pro-life, you're against women's rights.
Yeah, no, completely separate.
That's,
and I was just about to bring that up, that it's not the case. Like, I don't think that people who are pro-life are anti-women's rights. They think that you are killing something inside of you. You're responsible for carrying this life to term, and you being a woman isn't infringing on your rights. You're infringing on the rights of the fetus that you're killing.
And it's not women's reproductive rights. It's women's right not to reproduce. So that's even incorrect. But they frame it in this way where it's like, well, you're not against women, are you? Well, no, I'm not against women's rights.
Absolutely not.
But and it's like, what about the 50% of women who are pro-life? It's right around there. I think it's about 47% of women are pro-life.
Sure, yeah.
So are they against women's rights?
Right, right, right. And then I always think of like the case of the father. Like, what if the mother wanted to have an abortion, but the father did not? Does he have a say at all, or is it just like, too bad, Charlie?
Not
happening for you. No,
no,
absolutely not. So it's an interesting discussion. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. But I like the way that we suss it out and we mull over it instead of definitively saying like right or wrong. Ethics are very gray oftentimes, especially like biomedical ethics and stuff like that, when it comes to euthanasia, when it comes to abortion, when it comes to capital punishment, stuff like that. So it's important to consider both sides and not just think that, oh, people who are pro-life are anti-women, or people who are pro-choice are the devil. Like, there's so much gray area, and I encourage you all to just, like, have a discussion with people before just being so dismissive. That's the thing that I don't like. You can have your beliefs all you want. You can discuss, but at least be mindful and be willing to sit down and have a civil discourse with someone who disagrees with you.
And I think it's okay if you do have biases. You know, you
well,
have a worldview.
Everyone has biases.
Have a,
that's fine.
You view things through a political lens. You know, that's fine. But you have to at least be aware of them. Like, I feel very strongly about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be aware that instead of saying I'm right, even if you think you're right, that's fine. You have to be able to talk about it objectively and openly. And not just everything is so, like you were saying, black and white. Now, yeah, there's no nuance. There's no gray in between. And there is. There is a lot of it because there's arguments that could potentially change your mind. But I think people are afraid of getting their mind changed. They don't
want to. Right, because they lose the support of their team. They feel like a traitor. And then it's also a pride issue, right? So it's not like this is right or wrong. It's I'm right or wrong. And if I'm wrong, then I'm stupid. And that's not the case at all. I've changed my mind on a few different things, you know, when it comes to circumcision or when it comes to religion. I used to believe in God. That's not like an ethical issue. But whatever, I've changed my mind on things. And I hate the term flip-flopper because you're not flip-flopping. Yeah. You're evolving and you're learning new things and you're changing your mind.
I always hated that.
Yeah.
Because it's just getting more information. You know, 25 years ago you felt different on a subject. You have 25 years of more knowledge that you, I changed my mind. There's nothing wrong with changing your mind.
No, I encourage that. You know, you're not married to an idea. You should never be married to an idea. You know, it has nothing to do with your character at all. And you can change your mind without feeling guilty or feel like you're losing your team. And if your team abandons you, you didn't want to be on that team anyways if they're not willing to have an open discussion with you about why you believe what you believe. Yeah. So it's important to break it down and try to understand why you do it, and to be mindful of the fact that you are a product of your environment. You know, I mean, I see people all the time that are all my lefty liberal friends, their parents are all hippies, you know, from Portland, Oregon, and all my conservative friends are from, Virginia and Texas and whatnot. You are a product of your environment. Well, that's just how I was raised. That's when you break it down to, well, this is just how I was raised. Well, question that. Why are you stopping there? I was raised Jewish, okay? And I went to Sunday school and I went to Hebrew school and I had a bat mitzvah. But when I went to college and I was exposed to a few different things and I started to change my mind about stuff and I stopped relying on the, well, that's just how I was raised. Well, you need to question that because just because, you know, your ancestors got it wrong doesn't mean that over time it becomes more right. You know, if a lie was written, to me, it's funny. Like when I think about the Bible and the Bible has like some sort of credibility, I'm like, okay, it's a lie that has festered for 4,000 years, something like that, 3,000 years. Doesn't make it more right because it's an archaic lie versus like we look at Scientologists and we like scoff, oh, they don't know anything, or these people who are believing these cults. It's just a cult that kind of cultivated into something more mainstream and became a religion. So,
yeah.
That took an interesting turn.
It always does, doesn't it? But yeah, I just feel like I'm going insane sometimes. Like, I am, yeah, because my friends are all, I would say, very left-wing.
You look very left, by the way. Just your whole demeanor.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's fine. You know, whatever. You can be whatever you want. But I get accused of being things all the time, and it really just pisses me off so bad.
Yeah.
I had one of my really good friends did it to me the other day.
Regarding,
we had a conversation. I don't even remember exactly what it was about, but we were talking about this in particular, and he accused me of starting off on a lie because he regards me as a right-wing person. And I go, dude, I'm not right-wing. I have to, like, I'm sensitive about it because I'm not.
Why are you such a snowflake?
But I
understand.
So
it's a mislabeling.
It's mislabeling, and it's not true. And I'm telling you, no, dude, I'm very moderate on stuff. And here's proof. Here's a test that I took that was 100 questions. Mm-hmm. It was very intensive. And he goes, well, okay, fair enough. But that's how people would view you. Okay, that's because you are so far left that you view anybody right of you as right wing.
Sure.
So that's your problem, not my problem. So don't mislabel me and tell me, well, that's how people see you. What do you mean, people? That's you,
yeah,
dude.
He sees you, yeah.
And it just, man, I wanted to throw him through the window.
Or his cluster of people.
Yeah.
You got to be careful,
man. Like, I hate it.
We're not helping each other, and we're not learning from each other in the way that we should. You can have your biases, you can have your beliefs, but be calm about them and be mindful that not everybody agrees with you, and be willing to sit down and to discuss it.
All right, there you go. That's the Homemade Broadcast for this week. Check out Stay Woke Midnights on 102.5 The Bone. Download the Bone app. Download the Radio St. Pete app. Check out TampaBayPodcast.com. Check out HMBRadio.com. Check out HomemadePodcast.com. There's so many. I know. I'm sorry. This has been the Homemade Broadcast for this week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you're listening on podcast, thanks a bunch. Tell a friend. Let me send you some stickers. Email me, and I will do so. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. See you later.
To be free, I just wanted you to know.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.